Lord God, we look to you as the source of all wisdom. In a world that offers many shams and shortcuts, Lord God, I pray that you would appeal to us, our very hearts, our minds, our souls, our very bodies, to get wisdom. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So I believe that the Spirit imparts wisdom and that the Word of God, which is alive and active, it's like a double-edged sword, gets in and discerns the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts and edits those things, cuts out those things that are not wisdom, that lead to death. Now, sometimes I don't want to give those things up because I've come to rely on them. As the hymn said, I've really come to rely to save myself. And so to allow surgery to be done on me, I resist. My friend calls them, he likes to keep close those souvenirs of hell that were part of his old life, that God wants to surgically remove from our lives. What souvenirs from hell are you aware of in your life that are actually blocking your growth in grace, your growth in wisdom? Today could be a turning point for you, for me, as I give God the freedom to do that radical surgery in my life, to grow in wisdom. I don't want to just be a senior citizen. I mean, I might get a deal at IHOP, but is that all? Biblical eldership is for men and women who have grown in grace over the years and grown in the W word, wisdom. And that's why the crown, the gray hair, is a crown on our heads, because it's assumed that we have grown in wisdom. We have grown in grace as we've walked as disciples with Jesus over many long years. And I hope that's one of the great satisfactions of getting old. Eden, remind me that you are grown up. And that's so true, and I need to own that and be mature for my years, and yet I continually want to grow up into Jesus. Wisdom applied, it seems to me, is what the scriptures speak of. There's a proverb that says, wisdom is made known by her children. Think about that for a little bit. There's evidence. Wisdom has evidence, and I would suggest to you that the Proverbs reading is this personification of Lady Wisdom. Now, of course, it applies to my wife, a wife of noble character. Who can find? Well, I've found her. Her name's Joanne. And so Proverbs 31 speaks of clearly my wife. So I just want to make that clear. But it also speaks and can be taken and should be taken, I think, as an appeal to wisdom for men and women. That wisdom is cast in the Lady Wisdom, this respected wisdom, this wise woman. And it's lived through daily living, as I believe the first reading in Proverbs speaks of very well. But I think the psalm serves to sort of lay the foundation. The psalms, as does scripture, usually puts two paths in front of us, the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. Which one are you going to take? The righteous? Well, it's easy to say. It's not always easy to do. But the appeal is so strong, the appeal made to us in Scripture, that we would be foolish not to take that righteous way, the way of wisdom. Psalm 1, happy are they, blessed are they, who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners. Notice you might step into that place. You might be party to a really bad joke, a really offensive joke, but you don't need to stay there. You don't need to deliver the punchline. You don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. You don't linger in the way of sinners. You get out of there. No, you don't sit down in the seats of the scornful. There's no place for you in that circle. Your chair is not there. And if it is, you need to make some radical changes. Because the delight of the wise person is in the law of the Lord. I remember I was working, I was a young man, probably in my 20s, and we were out in the bush at a camp it was a camp for juvenile delinquent boys, and the staff used to go into town on Friday nights and Saturday nights, if no one was working, and go to a bar and there was dancing. And I went because I liked Terry and Lowell. They were my co-workers, and I was new. But after a couple times, I just thought, there's nothing that appealed to me there. I just didn't want to do it anymore. And so I told Lowell and Terry, I said, Terry, I'm not going to be with you guys tonight. So that was about 3 weeks running, and Terry said, why don't you like us anymore? I said, excuse me? He goes, you don't like us anymore. You don't hang out with us. I said, I like you guys, both you and Lowell. I like you very much. But I just don't like going to that. I don't like going to the bar. I don't like going there. And he was offended because that was their fellowship. That was their, that was where they went. And so sometimes, you know, there's a cost. I don't want to put a big cost on that because it wasn't, but it was awkward. But I tried to explain to them. I didn't like it. It wasn't good for me. And so I didn't go anymore. I didn't want to linger in that place with Terry and with Lowell. I like them, but I didn't want to be part of that circle. Are there circles that you're part of that maybe you need to extricate yourself from that circle and say, no longer. I'm really tired of that. I'm finished with that. And then what is your then, how do you deepen that delight in the things that you need to grow in? Well, I think that first of all, we say, I want to honor God. The scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee. That sounds so easy. But I'm reminded of the cartoon of the woman who's holding on to the parking meter and her legs are straight across the sidewalk. And you look and you go, what's going on here? And it's a chocolate shop. And she's getting sucked in. She's trying to resist. You know, and you just hope that she's going to hold on. Sometimes temptation is that strong. It just pulls us so deeply. And that's why I think we're in community to be able to say, I'm really going through a rough time. I'm really under temptation. And I need prayer. I need help. Sometimes just speaking of it is that resistance, resisting the devil, and he will flee. The flip side of that is the injunction to draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. It's like you only have to go 50%, and God meets you 50%. Do you ever go to clearance racks? What's the tipping point for you? 50% off? 60? 70? Well, I think that's what God is saying to us. You draw near to me, and I'm going to be right with you. I'm going to draw near to you. And we can go together. We can live together. Happy are they. Be blessed. They are like trees planted by streams of water. And remember, it's not in a rainforest. This image is not given in a rainforest, but in a desert. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season. Their leaves do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. So that's the psalm that sort of lays out and reminds the reader of these two paths. And it's choose life, choose wisdom, choose the way of the Lord. And the appeal is there. This wife of noble character, I'm framing her and understanding this as Lady Wisdom, and that we're to be attracted to her as a lifelong partner. She models shalom. She models hard work. Her arms are strong. She provides for her household. But her perspective is worldwide. It's global. She interacts with the merchants who come from afar. And so she has this global perspective, which I find so appealing. She considers a field and she buys it. She has agency in the world. She's not afraid when it snows. She's prepared. Her lamps are trimmed, her household is clothed, and not simply in threadbare clothing. No, she has made linen and dyed it in purple and deep burgundy, rich colors that are costly to make. So there's a richness to wisdom that I believe God wants to lead us in, not just to be a senior citizen, but to be wise, to be an elder. And can wisdom be in children? I believe it can. In teens? I believe it can. Sure. Young adults? Yes. And yet wisdom, I believe, is like a tea bag. It's steeped in a life over time. Wisdom is like mulch. It's like compost. And it takes a while for compost to become humus, right? To become soil. And in that, wisdom can grow. And so a couple Sundays ago, we have what we call Stir Up Sunday. Do you remember that? Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people. That's how the collect begins. And there's sort of a very tame image. I think it's a good one, but I've been thinking about it. It's the sound of stirring in a china teacup. Can you hear that tinkle? Stirring up the sugar and maybe milk in the tea. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people. Stir up your word in our lives. Get us to mix that up, because it's better that way. But I've thought about something else. We've had a radical renovation in our kitchen. There's nothing left except the floorboards and the exterior wall boards. Boy, have things been stirred up. Stirred up to such a degree that we needed to wear masks for a couple days, because the ceiling's open, and even the attic got stirred up. And friends, you don't want to know what was up there. So there's this stirring up that has sort of a toxic element. You stir up all sorts of stuff. And I was thinking, you know what? I think what God's calling us to is more like that than just stirring up a cup of tea. There's some stuff that needs to be stirred up in order to uncover that which needs to get out, to be cleansed, to be moved out, and replaced with things that are sound and strong. When I go out to the compost pile, I stir it. And that's not a pleasant image, is it, necessarily? Stirring up kind of that mucky stuff as I put the new compost on. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people. And in that image, it takes a while for that compost to become humus. And humus is the same word that humility comes from. And humility and wisdom are so interrelated. So what is God using in our lives to humble us, to make us that compost, that rich earth that can then take and give life, bring life, where wisdom can grow? And I think, well, that's what I want to be more like. James speaks of wisdom. Lady Wisdom, I commend Proverbs 31, chapter 31 to you to consider and reading it in light of this Lady Wisdom appealing to us. James talks about wisdom, says some very important things about wisdom. Again, wisdom applied. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life. Wisdom is made known by her children. Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. To me, that is so beautiful. A life of gentleness born of wisdom. And I wish I was more like that. It's an area that I want to grow in. And I really regret when I was harsh with my children, that it wasn't gentleness born of wisdom when I was correcting my children. But they experienced dad being harsh and kind of hard line. I grieve that. And yet I don't stay there. I want to grow in that gentleness born of wisdom today and tomorrow and the next day. Don't let bitter envy and selfish ambition into your hearts. Don't let them take root, that someone has more than you, that someone got the promotion before you, that someone's getting more recognition than you. Oh, that is just deadly, isn't it? And Jesus asked the disciples, what were you speaking of along the road? Why were they afraid to ask Jesus? Because their hearts were they were talking about who was the greatest, when Jesus is trying to prepare them for his death and resurrection. And they're talking about who's able to be cabinet minister and get the highest post in the new government that they thought Jesus was going to bring in. No, he said, that's not the way of wisdom. That's not it. In coveting, in craving. That's not it. And so God wants to get into the area of our wills, where those desires live, where the wants of our lives are. And he wants to get in there and do a renovation. He wants to do a radical renovation. There's going to be noise. There's going to be dust. There's going to be reorientation. There's going to be upset, confusion, disorientation. But I believe that's the kind of renovation that God wants. I don't care if you're 20, 50, 70, age is not a factor here. God wants to work with us until we breathe our last breath. We've been signed with the cross and marked as Christ's own forever. So it's not who I am, but whose I am. We are paid for with a price. We are God's. We are not our own. And God calls us to holy, wise living. The promise is that life now will be better for you and for everyone else, because the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. Those seem like traits that would be appealing. Fantastic. I would love these to mark my life, to be pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And that's what grows in a humble life, in the humus of this rich soil. And what do we look forward to? A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. So I hope I've been faithful to the appeal that I've heard in Scripture, this appeal of wisdom, that our lives would be marked by a gentleness born of wisdom. That's my hope.